Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
And that's what it's about, yes? We are rising up into our greatness. We're accepting that greatest of ideas, which is the idea of the Christ alive in us as love. You know, you can't keep a good idea or a great idea down. That's the title of the message today. And that's true in the whole of humanity. You know, I'm thinking about the invention of the modern computer, for instance, right? And it was invented in various parts of the world, and because it was such a new and unique thing, they kept it kind of secret in the societies where it was being developed. And it was developed during the Second World War. Again, we didn't want to send out the message to many people because there was a fight on our hands. But it was invented both in Britain and America and other places. And later on, they came together and collaborated, and we have what we know as the modern computer today. But the fascinating thing for me was the idea was in consciousness, folks, as a great idea. This was the next leap forward for humanity, if you like. And so, therefore, it's going to show up in different places, yeah? And it's the same with this idea that Jesus came to the planet to bring us. Once he'd loosed it, once he'd expressed it, this great idea of love made manifest, it can never be put back in the box again, right? It's out. And then it must be made manifest. Now, he's the first fruits, but guess what? We're the second fruits, right? We're also to put on the same consciousness that Jesus demonstrated so beautifully well. And that's this great idea. And it's nowhere explained more beautifully than in the passage that Adrian just read. And I want to unpack the passage because, to me, it's a template of how do you loose, how do you realize the great idea that is yours to claim in your life? Because each of us have a great idea. We have different gifts and talents, but they all hover around the lodestone, which is love, right? They're the luster of love. And they're all the various things that are ours to bring forth into, and uniquely so, into our life experience. So how do we do it? First of all, it said it was the first day of the week. Well, literally, she couldn't go to the tomb on the Sabbath. It was forbidden. So this is the first time Mary Magdalene could get to the tomb, and she wanted to be there because she wanted to see what had happened, you know, what's happened to Jesus. So that's the literal. But what's the other meaning? What's the metaphysical? If we're on this journey of releasing this great idea, it's the first day of the week. You're beginning again, right? For the Hebrews, for the Israelites, it was Sunday. Our first day is probably Monday. Doesn't matter. The point is, it's the first day. It's always the first day when we're about a new idea, yeah? I am waking up to my new idea today. It's the first day of the week. It was still dark. In other words, it was still a little fuzzy. I'm not sure about this great idea yet, you know? When they come into our consciousness, we haven't got it all worked out, right? We're sort of stumbling around in the dark a little bit, yes? So it's still dark. But Mary Magdalene is up and about. She's doing the work. Interesting that it should be Mary Magdalene, right? Because she is such an interesting character in the Bible. In one tradition, they say she was a former prostitute. In another tradition, that she was actually married to Jesus. And in other traditions, she was this redeemed woman that came from a fallen past up into new life. It's all of us, folks, isn't it? We've all got light and dark sides of us. We've done wonderful things. We've done things we're less than proud of. So she represents us. Another thing is, she's a woman. So if you notice this, the first people to see the risen Christ are women. Now you could say good for women, right? Yeah. Hey, women. Not amen, women. But it's more than just women. It's about the feminine side. When the new idea comes, it doesn't always come to the head. It comes to your feeling nature, to your gut. You know it to be true in the heart. It comes to that feminine part of us, that open and receptive side of us. First day of the week, still dark. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She came to the problem, came to the seeming difficulty. Yeah? What's the difficulty I'm facing right now in my life? And that was a huge one for her because they'd taken away the Lord. When she got there, The stone had been rolled away. Something was happening. Something was breaking open. Yes? The new idea was gestating, wasn't it? It was coming forward. She looked into the tomb. There was no Jesus. What did she immediately think? Somebody stole him. Right? And often we give up on our great ideas at that point because we feel like, oh, this isn't going to work out. It's not going to happen. It's not really anything. I may as well give up, you know? And then that's why we don't succeed sometimes in putting our great ideas into practice, because we see the empty tomb. We don't see the fruitfulness yet. But the first thing she did was she ran back to the disciples. Now, running is moving fast. What does that suggest? She's in a hurry. She's excited. She's taking action. You know, when an idea is coming, you don't give up because there's an empty tomb, folks. You take action. You run. She ran back to the other disciples. She ran back to Peter and John, the disciple that Jesus loved the most. They represent faith and love, because the first one, Peter, was the rock on which I'm going to build my church, the rock of faith. And John represented love. Whenever we get an idea that's being birthed, we have to have faith in it and love for it. Otherwise, you're not going to do anything in life, are you? Unless you wrap it with faithful, yes, I can do this. I trust that I'm capable, and I love it. Have you ever succeeded in doing anything without those two qualities? You have to have faith. You're getting married. You have to have faith and love. You're in a new job. You have to have faith and love that this is going to be the perfect situation for you, yes? It has to be that way. So they rushed back. They ran back too, and there's almost a rivalry there between faith and love. Who's going to get there first? They found something interesting, though. When they looked into the tomb, they found that one of the linen cloths that covered his face had been folded up and put neatly at the side. This suggests that he wasn't just ransacked. The tomb wasn't ransacked and the body taken, but there was some mindfulness here. Something's going on. But Mary Magdalene still doesn't quite get it. The first thing she does after that is weep. She weeps. And I'm going to suggest that that weeping was a very powerful thing. Because what do we do when we let our tears out, folks, when we can cry about something? What do? We're releasing, aren't we? Releasing. You remember when Lazarus was taken from the dead and reborn? The raising of Lazarus. What did Jesus do right before he raised Lazarus? He wept. Jesus wept. It was a releasing of any bonds, any old ways of thinking. I'm letting it out. You know, sometimes we won't cry because it's a sign of weakness. Wrong. It's a sign of release. Yeah, of letting go. So saying, I can't do this. I don't understand. I'm fuzzy here. I'm still in the dark. But I know there's a power in me that can do this. She wept. What was the next thing that happened? Two angels appeared. This always happens, folks. You may say, well, I've never seen angels, but you've had glimpses of light, yes? You've had inklings. Somebody has shown up at the right time in the right place to guide you. Something has happened. Those are the angels. They appeared in the tomb at the head and at the foot of where Jesus was laid. So they're guardian spirits. They've come with a message. And then immediately with the angels was, of course, Jesus. She didn't recognize him. First of all, she thought he was the gardener because she was still not fully cognizant of the magic and wonder that was happening for her. But something happened that made her know without a shadow of a doubt that it was Jesus and everything was transformed. It was when he said to her, Mary. When the Christ speaks directly to us. Have you ever had this moment in your inner studies, in your contemplation, in meditation, in that moment of letting go where you've just opened up and you're open up to Spirit and Spirit speaks directly to you? It may not always tell you what you want to hear, but it speaks knowing you intimately, right? Because it's who you are. It's the essence of you, and it speaks to all of us. It knows us. It knows how many hairs you have on your head. That's what Jesus said. And the Spirit speaks, Becky, right? And when the Spirit speaks to Becky, Becky better listen, right? When the Spirit speaks to Paul, Paul better listen, because it always comes with good news, with transformative power. Mary. The first thing she did was hug him, right? Because obviously if they were married, that's what she'd want to do. But if she was part of the inner circle and very close to him, because she called him Rabboni, teacher, intimate way of referring to him as a teacher, beloved teacher. She hugged him, and he said, hey, wait a minute, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. And that's a lovely moment, because it's very human. It's human from her point of view, because what do we want to do when we've reconnected with our truth? Hug it. Wow. It is true. Glory, hallelujah. But then he says, don't touch me, because, hey, he was getting to get into the ascended moment, right? He wasn't the old Jesus that he was before. He was getting used to being resurrected. You know, what's this about? And it was felt a little delicate, so we don't want to be touched at that point. And I like that too, because again, it shows the realness of the situation, yes? We got to be respectful here. Things are moving, things are changing. Transformation is occurring. And then he says this wonderful thing, and I love it because it's so unity, folks. He says, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Isn't that beautiful? Because it's saying, like, it's not just about me. I'm raised up, but I'm going to raise you up too. We're all in this together. When I find it, you find it, because we're all one. The computer was invented in Britain and America. It wasn't just in one nation, right? So nobody could say, oh, it was mine. Because when the ideas come, they come freely to all. It's just up to us to tune into them. That Christ message, that blessing of love is always available, yeah? It's just up to us to run towards it, to embrace it, to understand it, to be ready to receive it. It's my understanding that the Christ is always arising, always ascending, right? And invites us up too, yeah? Always coming up into a higher consciousness to do something more generous and remarkable with our lives. Because isn't that the work? It's not good enough just to find the Christ for yourself, is it? What you do next? See the Christ in others and give service in that from that consciousness, right? There's a song by the Waterboys that says, I'm going to look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. And sometimes it takes more than twice. But that's what we got to do. That's our work, is to persevere, not to accept you for the shell that you might be or the what you're presenting, even if it's ugly. I'm looking beyond that. I'm seeing into the truth of you, which is the Christ. Yeah, I'm going to look twice at you. I'm willing to do that work. It's beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful idea. I'm willing to behold the Christ. And the next line of the song goes, it happens when I'm looking with the eyes of love. And that's when we can see the Christ in others, isn't it? Is when we remember our own love, that the Christ is within me. Therefore, I can see it within you. And so it goes. Beautiful idea. So, don't worry if the idea is fuzzy, if it's still dark. If it involves weeping, that's not a problem. Stay fast. Hold on to this idea. It's a great idea. Its time has come. And it's always available within us. And this is the symbolism of the cross. So let's shift over to the flowery cross. You know, so often we think of the cross as a miserable thing, don't we? You know, full of the crucifixion of Jesus and suffering. Well, that's only temporary. Jesus crossed out ignorance. That's another meaning of the cross. He crossed out the ego, the I, and created oneness, wholeness. And so we celebrate that blossoming of the Christ from the cross, the rising of the Christ into resurrection by these flowers, right? And volunteers have placed these flowers on here yesterday. And what we're going to do in a moment is take a flower. And the reason we're taking it is symbolically we are also saying, I choose to blossom as the Christ in my life experience this day and every day, right? And that's the symbol of that. And we got two beautiful ladies to come down, Adrienne and Wendy, and they're going to hand out some cards also with affirmations. Come on. Come on. Remember, you were the first you can go this side if you'd like. And now the ushers, if you would, please help us. Yes, the flowers are in water picks. We would love you to take the flower and the pick. The flower and the pick. And so if you come down the aisle and then go around in a sort of circular motion, and we'll do the first two aisles here, and then we'll do this ones, and then finally we'll do upstairs, okay? So let us begin.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.